In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today is the first Sunday of the blessed month of Baba, and as we just heard the story about the four men who brought their friend before the Lord Christ in order for him to be healed. And there are many lessons we can learn from this story, and we reflected on this many times before, and we never came to the fullness of the meanings of this story and what can we learn from it. But today I will focus on the choice. Those four men, they had a choice, and today you are going to talk about how we make choices. The Lord looked at those people and said, and because he saw their faith, then he granted them their wish. And the faith is not something that a creed you just recite, or an idea that we say that we believe in. Faith is reflected in how we choose every day. Many, many things. From the beginning of the day to the end of it, we make a choice after another. All of these choices tell us about whom we are truly and what we truly believe in. If you want to examine your faith, and if you want to be aware of your heart, just examine your choices, even the little ones of them. So we talk today about the choices of the four men, and what are the considerations before making a choice. The choices of the four men was as follow. First, they choose to stick to their friend. This man was sick for a long time. Many people, they go and visit someone who, whenever he is visit, maybe for a day or two or a week or a month, but only loyal people, they stick to their friends all through the process, even to the end of his time. They will still be with him. They also choose to be positive and work something, not just stay beside him, giving him just a word of comfort. When they heard about this man, the Messiah, who came to heal the people, then they worked something together. They were positive and took initiative. Many times our friendship is not the same way. We talk and we find difficulty to act sometimes. Also, they choose to bring their friend to the Lord. And this reflected their faith. They knew that this man can heal them. Many problems we go through, many challenges we face every day, but not every time we find ourselves inclined to take our problems to the Lord. We try to find solution with the people around us, calling everyone we think he might have some kind of impact or influence, but not everyone runs to the Lord whenever he has an issue. Also, they choose to work together. They were a functioning group, and this is also something that reflected their character and nature. Maybe every one of them had a different idea what we should be doing. Maybe one of them said we would come tomorrow. Another person said maybe we push and find our way through the door. But at the end of the day, we worked something together, and this also reflected their good spirit. Also, they choose to deny themselves. The way they designed to bring their friend before the Lord, it reflected, in a way, their humility, because none of them will be able to stand before the Lord himself. They will present their friend, but they have no chance to see the Lord face to face and talk with him. Imagine that we have an event, and actually why we should imagine, this happened last week when the Pope came. Unless people really, they work hard to organize things, I'm sure that many of us are going to just push and maybe trample on one another, thinking that this is the way we are getting to get a blessing. There is no blessing that's be granted with selfishness or only seeking what I want. Those people work it with humility, and they brought their friend even while they have no chance to see the Lord himself. So there are many choices included here. And all of these, one after another, reflected the belief, the faith. And this is what God is trying to look at and reminding us with. We all stand here in the church and we recite the same creed. We believe in one God, God the Father, Panto Creator. But is it truly this is how we believe? Is this how we act on our belief or not? Something for us to meditate and think about it. So what are the considerations for a choice? The idea or the dilemma of a choice is subject that's too big, and I cannot cover it in one single sermon. Life and death are both choices. Adam was given the choice. And as I said before to you, the death was not in the tree. the tree was not poisonous. The death was in the choice. When Adam chose to find a source of knowledge that away from God, he turned his face to the ground, seeking what's forbidden, taking his knowledge from the ground, and this is how we died. Everything is how we choose. Life and death are choices before us. It's up to us what we pick. What are the considerations that we should have in mind before we make a choice? There are 7 considerations that I want all of us today to think of. The first one is the cost. Every choice has a cost, and I have to make sure that I can afford it. Before marrying, I have to calculate the cost. And the cost is not only money. It also, am I ready psychologically, mentally, emotionally? Can I afford this? Applying for a school, am I ready to take the effort and do whatever it takes for me to be successful? Moving into another place. Anything has a cost, and we have to think about the cost, if we can afford it or not. Jacob knew that to have Rachel as a wife, he has to work very hard. He worked 14 years. And in his mind, these days were like little time because he loved Rachel and he was able to afford the cost. People in high school, sometimes when they make a decision or a choice that to go in a relationship, they think that all what it takes is that I am physically able, I'm emotionally attached. But is it what it takes truly? Going in a relationship means that I know that this kind of relationship tends to escalate. Can I afford waiting for 7, 8, or 10 years before being intimate with this person while I'm keeping myself pure and chaste? All of these are calculations that should be in the mind. Many times people go into big projects like marriage while they really do not know what is the cost. And once they start, they think, I cannot afford this. I cannot live with that. This is not something as I thought about it. And then what we'll find is many projects that we start, unfortunately, is not completed. The second consideration before making a choice is I think about the consequences. What will be the result of my choice? Immature people, they just pick something because instantly they like it. I will go into this. But what will happen afterwards is something that does not cross the mind of people who are not mature yet. The consequences might be immediate and might be delayed. It might happen now when I get indulged in a certain act. I might pay for it. A person who takes any kind of drugs or alcohol and drive his car, he might pay immediate consequences. Being caught by the cops, pulled over, this might cost this person his future, maybe. And it would be something delayed. Delayed means that when I choose to go in this pattern, one time after another, I'm just building up something that I'm going to pay for it later on. The consequences means that I have to calculate it, how this is going to impact my health, my reputation, my family, my church, my salvation. Maybe exposure to something that's unclean over the internet one time, we can think of it as not harmful. I went there, I visited a site that's immoral, I came out, nothing happened. But when this happens over and over and over and over, I will start building a habit, and this habit might be very destructive. Getting out from this might take extreme effort. I have to calculate the consequences of my choices. King Rehoboam in the Bible, he is the son of King Solomon. When the people of Israel came to him and asked him, please relieve us from the heavy burden that your father put on us. Rehoboam, he heard 2 opinions. One of them was the opinion of the elders. Be kind, speak kindly to the people, serve them, everything will be okay. And his friends told him, no, be tough. Show that you are a strong king and speak harshly to the people. King Rehoboam leaned to the opinion of his friends, not knowing what will be the consequences. He did not think about it. What he thought is his image. This will look good when I present myself as a tough king. This is what he did. The consequences was that kingdom was divided between him and another king called Jeroboam. One single choice, a bad decision, not thinking of what will happen after what I say, made the kingdom of Israel to suffer for many years. There was a story about like a family, dad and mom and their son, and also the grandfather was living with them. So the mom treated the grandfather, his father-in-law, very poorly. She did not respect, regard his feelings. Even while putting the food for him, she chose an old dish that's rusted. In her mind, this is what he deserves. He's an old man. He's not clean. He's not neat. Let me serve him in this way. She kept on doing this day after another. And after he departed, she went to the kitchen cleaning, and then she thought of throwing the dish away. This dish has no use now. It's already rusted. It will only use to humiliate my father-in-law. Her son came to her and told her, "Mom, why are you throwing this? Can you please keep it?" She told him why we should keep it. He told her that because later on when you grow, this is how I'm going to serve you. I will serve you in the same dish that you served your father-in-law with. The child thought that if my mom did this, this is something to imitate. This is the example. The mom, when she was treating her father-in-law in this way, she did not think of the consequences of her choice. She made this decision because of bitterness, and then this is how she is going to pay for it. We will reap what we sow, and this is the law of consequences. No exception, it applies on every individual. The third consideration before making a choice is the consideration of the offense. Am I offending someone by doing what I'm doing? When people come to the church, the ladies, when they come to the church, am I considering in what I'm putting on myself, how people will look at me, what they are think of me, my family? When I go outside and I behave in a certain way, and I get engaged in any activity, am I thinking of what the people will say about me when they see my picture, for example? All of these should be in mind. Parents sometimes, they think that it's okay for them to drink before their kids. We know that we are not going to get drunk, and we are not, in a way, spending over money or anything. But are you considering the offense you are causing to your son or daughter when he grow? When he grow and he thinks, am I going to repeat this? If he is going to do this with no self-control, what will happen? Who taught him the habit in the first place? Is it truly that valuable that you expose your son or daughter to be offended in you because of a drink? All of these should be in mind while making a choice. St. Paul said to the Corinthians, "Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble." He was so considerate of other people around him. At that time, people used to kill animals to the honor of an idol. And some of the Christians at that time started to question if this food is lawful or not, clean or unclean, and there was kind of a debate. St. Paul gave us a rule here. He said, if me eating meat will make another person to stumble, I'm not going to do this. This is something we should keep in consideration. My actions before my children, my peers, the people that I live among in the community of the church. There was also a story about a pastor who went to a city. No one knew him, but he started to print some advertisement and put it everywhere. Come to this church, a new pastor. So in his first maybe day going to the church, he went to the bus, take the bus, his ride to his church. He should be paying like half dollar and 50 cents. So he gave the bus driver a dollar, and the bus driver, instead of giving him 50 cents back, he gave him 75 cents. So the pastor looked at them, and his mind was, this is not my mistake, it's the mistake of the bus driver. He did not calculate it well. He just gave me an extra quarter. So he thought about it for a second, and then he said, no, this is not right. I should give the man back his quarter because this is not right. So he gave the bus driver a quarter back and told him, I'm sorry you gave this by mistake, so please take it back. The bus driver told him, yes, I know I gave it to you by mistake. Aren't you the new pastor in city? He told him, yes, I am. He told him, I'm sorry, I was just testing you, if it is worth to come to your church and listen to you or not. The man was in a way looking at the pastor and thinking that if this man is not honest enough to return back to me the extra quarter that he took by mistake, it's not worth to go to his church or listen to his sermons. What he is going to tell me after all? Many lessons we give to our children day after day. We as parents are very good in lecturing. We all do this. But at the end, what they are going to learn is what we do, what we express before them as an example. This is the law of the offense. Consider carefully what you do. You might be offending others. If you are doing this, if we are in doing something like this, we have to change it, have to offer repentance, ask God for forgiveness, and try to change our behavior. The fourth consideration before making a choice is the freedom. Am I free? Is my mind thinking straight? Or I am taking captive? Captives, they are not free. They cannot make a free choice. So whatever they choose based on their slavery. What do I mean by this? If I am captivated by a passion, my choice will be always influenced by my passion. For example, if I don't like someone, I will never accept this person. Everything he says, I will just reject it. I will make every opportunity to learn invalid from this person. Why? Because I am taken by the passion of bitterness. I hate someone, and that's why whatever he does, I'm not going to choose or pick it. King Saul never liked David. He was after him to take his life. He was captivated by this passion. All of his choices were wrong. Why? Because his mind was not free. If you hate a person, you cannot make a sound decision. If you are taken by the captive of bitterness, your decision most likely is influenced with it. We tend to deny it. Make sure that there is a mirror for you tells you if you're truly free or you are taken captive by a passion. Samson was taken captive by the passion of lust. He was not thinking straight, and that's why he went from a problem to another problem to another problem. Before you make a choice or you pick something, make sure that your mind is free, because this will assure you that the decision is right. The fifth consideration is the consideration of the treasure. Where is your treasure will tell you how you make your choices. Every liturgy, we hear that, like the Abuna says, lift up your hearts, or where are your hearts? We answer, they are with the Lord. If my heart is in heaven, then my treasure is up there. My choices will be along this theme. If my treasure is somewhere else, my choices, my actions, my words will always point at this. St. Paul says about his treasure, yes, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He considered everything as loss, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. If my treasure is in my ego, my image, everything I say, I do, will just point to this is the treasure. Even serving in the church, I might be serving here not because of the glory of Christ. I am serving here because this feeds my ego. And this can be tested in many ways. But if at the end of the day, if this is what I am doing, all of my effort is in vain. I'm not gaining anything. I'm just doing this to feed the true God, that's me. Abraham and Lot had a conflict about the land where they live. Abraham's treasure was in heaven, not on the earth. Lot's treasure was in the land. Abraham told Lot, you choose anything, I will go the other way. The most important thing for me is peace. I want to keep peace. Lot loved the land. That's why he looked at Sodom and Gomorrah. not considering how evil the people there, because my treasure was in the fertility of the land. It is very good land. I don't care where this is going to take me. Joseph has his heart with the Lord. That's why he took the risk of saying no to his mistress. And this caused him to go to prison. My treasure is in heaven. His choice was, I'm not going to do something that's against God. Daniel, his treasure was in heaven. His choice was clear. I will not worship the king. I will not eat what's unlawful for me to eat. The three saintly youth did the same. Here also about Moses and how his treasure was in heaven. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing, look at this word, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. He had a clear choice to be called the son of the daughter of Pharaoh or to be counted among the children of God. His heart and his treasure was in heaven. His choice was clear. What do you define as the pearl of great price in your life? What is the thing that you would say, I would die for it? This is what I'm going to strive and fight to gain it. This might tell you, me and everyone, where is your heart? What is the treasure of you? There was a story also about a king, and this king, he had one son. He loved his son tremendously. So he brought a painter to draw a picture for his son. And it was a very good picture, wonderful one. He had a gardener who loved the family. He was so loyal, serving the family all through. This king, his son, got in an accident and he passed away. The king was devastated. And all the days what he looked at is the picture of his son. What he cared about every day is just this. And then he decided that I cannot be a king anymore. I'm going just to leave everything. I will sell everything that I have. So the man decided to move, and he asked someone to sell all of what he has, the palace, the gardens, everything, the money, give it to the one who is going to buy it with the most price. At the end of the auction, the man who came to run the auction, he said, okay, now we'll start with the picture of the son. So the gardener loved the family. He went, and everybody was not interested. The people who came to buy was interested in the palace, in the jewelry, all of the positions, but the picture, who will care? So the gardener said, I want to buy this. The auctioneer started the auction, and the only one who bid for it was the gardener. He said, I will buy this, and he put a price on it. So after the auctioneer gave him the picture, no one else bid, then the auctioneer said, the auction is closed. And the people were surprised. How? There are many other items for sale. So the auctioneer said, the command for the king before he leaves is, the one who gets the picture gets everything. The gardener got the picture, and then he will get everything. Christ is this one. He is the picture of the Son. If you get him, if you bid on him, you get everything. If you put your choice on anything else, you are not going to gain any. We have to be very careful with this. Investing in this world is exactly investing in a company that's going bankrupt. Your money will be lost, your effort will be in vain. The sixth consideration is the consideration of the other. Before I make a choice, am I considerate of other people around me? And this is something sometimes, I don't know what to say, but it happens in the church often. How we act with one another. How we consider other people when we come to the church. When my son or my daughter are running in the church back and forth, I'm not stopping or restraining him. Not only I'm showing disrespect to the sanctuary of God, but I'm inconsiderate of other people in the church. They have to live with it. So what? It's just my son is running. Let him run. Other people around me are not a consideration. When I come from outside and I lit for myself and my children 50 of the candles outside. This is for this person, this person, this person. Then what about the people who will come after you? It's a small thing, but when you choose, when you pick, how others are in your consideration. We are all responsible for one another. We cannot forget this. When you leave your napkin in the bench, who is going to collect it after? Your brother or sister? Where is your consideration of this person when you choose just like to leave the place? You see, all of these tell us about whom we are, how we think, how we feel the people around us. Respecting other people's choices and freedom should be in my consideration. The best interest of others. In any family, people make choices every day. Where are others in your consideration, your choices? The last consideration is the consideration of the value. I choose based on what I consider as valuable. And because of this, we are in a status of trading. We are trading all day, many things. I take something and I leave something behind. The question is, do I know the true value of my life and my time, my family, my church, or I trade any of these with something that's of no value whatsoever? When I choose to spend time over nonsense, over the computer, instead of spending time with my children, actually, I have a problem with setting value, and that's why my choices are corrupt. I'm watching nothing instead of spending time building friendship with my children. What do we call this? It's a problem in a choice. Why? Simply because I have a problem with values. Tell you another story about a fisherman. The fisherman went early at the dawn time, before even the sun comes, it was so dark, and he went to the shore waiting for the time when light will come to start fishing. And then while going there, he stumbled in a bag of stones. So he sat on the seashore, waiting for the sun to come. He started to pick the stones and throw them in the water. He liked the sound. It was something fun. He kept on picking a stone from the bag and throw them. One after another, he was just entertaining himself. And then the last stone in his hand, and the sun started to rise. He looked at the stone and he found the diamond. The man was just throwing diamonds in the water. Why he was doing this? Because he was in darkness. And in darkness, you don't know the value of things. You just throw them away. Sometimes we are making like this. We have diamonds. We have something of value. And because we are in darkness, we just throw them into the water of this world. Nothing. The time is nothing. The family is nothing. The church is nothing. And one day after another, we waste the treasures that we have. Luckily, this man, he had one diamond to save. Is this the case with us? Am I throwing my diamonds because I just do not know the value of things in my hand? A question that we also have to ask ourselves before we make a choice. As I said, life and death are my choices. Have to be very careful when we consider making a decision. May the Lord grant us the wisdom by which we pick and we make the right choice and show ourselves and present ourselves as true believers. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.